Whew, all right, 5 o'clock. How about that for a change of pace, huh?
You
no more
made
news.
It.
We got sports talk now coming on before us at 5 o'clock. Well, it's officially summer when that starts happening.
Oh, yes.
Things changing here at over the seasons, of course, it being a college radio station. Things change when classes, when the semester ends. It has a lot to do with what's going on here. But it's cool. It's great. I mean,
sports fans are going to be excited.
Right. It's an exciting show. They seem to be having a tremendous amount of fun on air, so should be good. I know I'll miss the news, but, you know, with Zach running the news, that's always that just got better and better. And to me, they were just getting, like, super pro. Well, they were getting super pro. But,
yes.
Hey, you know, it's the summer. It's just, you know, things change, so we move on. One thing that does not change, though, luckily for me, is that American Radio is still here on Wednesdays and Fridays between 5 and 6 p.m. Sort of an institution here at 90.3 WHPC. Glad to be that way as well. We have been running our way through a series or a pair of series of album special shows. Two lists, the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40, another 500 albums that never quite made it that high up on the charts. Working our way through them in chronological order. We started back in, albums that were released in January 1964. We started there about 4 years ago doing this. And now here we are, like I said, about 4 years later, and we are up to September of 1970. And today we're going to finish what we started last week. We started with last week by playing the first half of the James Brown allegedly live album, Sex Machine. I say allegedly because the fact is that pretty much everything that we played last week was only faux live. In other words, it was all studio recordings that were had live crowd noises dubbed over them. Which, you know what? I mean, that would normally bother me immensely. But now that I know it, it's like kind of like their alternate takes, and the tracks were just great. So it was a lot of fun. But what's interesting is the second half of the album, sides 3 and 4, genuinely are live. So now I can say that we are playing James Brown's Sex Machine album live from, I think it was Augusta, Georgia, as it says on the cover. And this time, I won't be lying, and neither will James Brown.
That's where Rich Ryan is, in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
How about that?
Number one fans.
That's right. How about that? Hi, Rich. How are you, man? It's good. It's good to right down in Augusta, Georgia. This is an album that came, right, I guess, somewhere like very close to the vicinity of where you live. Okay, then let's get going, babe. The album, as I said, is called Sex Machine, released in September of 1970, went to number 21 on the pop charts, and here we are starting the live sides, the genuine live sides, I should say, of the album. The first track up is called I Don't Want Nobody to Give Me Nothing. Just open up the door, I'll get up myself. Yes, that is the title. 90.3 WHPC.
Open up the door, I'll tell them myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell them myself. Don't give me integration, give me true communication. Don't give me sorrow, I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow. Give me schools, then give me better books, so I can read about myself and gain my true looks. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. But at the door, I'll tell them myself. Some of us try as hard as can. We don't want no sympathy, we just wanna be a man. We use our sweat and blood. Put out everybody, back up every blood. We got talents we can use outside of town. Let's get our heads together and build it up from the ground. When some of us make money, we forget about our people. Forget about our honeys. Forget about our honey. Look at you now. But look at him.
That's live. And it's not, now what's weird about this, and I had the album last week. I forgot to bring it back in with me because it's sort of like it's a very cheap package. Not a lot of information on it. It's poorly glued. I remember my version became unglued immediately. But one of the things that's interesting is that the first two sides, the fake studios, the fake live sides and the live sides, they not only differentiate in that regard, but they also differentiate in that there's completely different bands on the two halves of the record. So what would normally be a sign of real serious inconsistency, and another reason for me to complain about this album, like in its cheapness, which is pretty much how I viewed it for decades, is I now view it as a real advantage because this is a fabulous album. If you're going to get like one James Brown record to get an idea of what he's about, this really might be the album that I would recommend because you get this really cool cross-section of what he's about. Like, for example, on the first two sides with the studio stuff, you hear him with the Collins brothers, Bootsy Collins and his brother Catfish Collins. And, with Clyde Stubblefield on drums and everything else, and J-Bo Starks, really, the main drummer on Sex Machine. So this is the latter part of, basically the 70s band that he would be working with from that point on for a number of years. They came in because James Brown's previous band had walked out on him because he's notoriously cheap. And he's a notoriously dictatorial leader. So he would their pay was relatively low as it is. James Brown was tight with his players. But then if they weren't perfect when they performed, he would fine them.
Yes.
And that really became a point of contention. And there was after one particular gig, the entire band said, the hell with this. We all quit. and they walked out. So that was when, you know, Bootsy and Catfish came in, and until they eventually did the exact same thing after a couple of years. It just, it's sort of unfortunate because James Brown was lucky enough to have two amazing back-to-back bands, but it was like sort of lightning striking twice.
Yes, it was.
He kind of ran out after that second band broke up. But the band that left him in the first place is what we're hearing now, the live side recorded at Bell Auditorium in Augusta, Georgia. And this, although it doesn't have the Collins brothers, this is with Fred Wesley on trombone and Maceo Parker on tenor sax. So it's a big deal. It's the previous band, the band that everybody thinks of when you think of James Brown, really, before, say, like, you know, the transition period. So let's get into it then, as James would say. Let's get up. Let's get involved and play a couple of other tracks from the live side. This is a medley here. It starts with James ripping through Lickin' Stick on 90.3 WHPC.
Mama, come here quick, I bring that licking stick. Mama, come here quick, I bring me that licking stick. People standing in the trays. Sisters out in the backyard doing outside dance. Come tell me other day you didn't wanna be a drag. I don't know what you do, but you got a brand new bag. Mama, come here quick, I bring that licking stick, woman. Mama, come here quick, that licking stick. Said the dance she doing, the latest thing. People now talk. It's your bag in that soulful stride. Now she doing camp. Come here quick, bring that licking stick. Mama, come here quick, bring that licking stick. Licking stick, licking stick.
Thank you. We're going to have a real show tonight. It's going to be a little different from the way most of the show's been going down. We're going to do everything with our heart and do it good. Now, we'll be recording here live tonight, and it'll be called James Brown Live at Home. In Augusta, GA. Yeah. All right, at this time, along with the band, I'd like to do a thing we call Lowdown Popcorn.
Thank you.
All right. That track, instrumental track called Low Down Popcorn. Yeah, I hate, there's always an exception to every rule, right? You might have been able to tell by the way the crowd sounded at the end of that one. That was also a fake live recording.
Ah, he didn't like the way it turned out live, I guess, so he threw that one in.
Yeah, probably. Or I think he wanted to basically maybe showcase his instrumental, you know, organ albums, because he does an awful lot of that in his mm-hmm. career, and he would do it live. But I think he just liked the studio recording. I don't, whatever his reasons, who knows?
Yay!
But, but what they did is they just added a lot of reverb onto the track and a little audience noise, and that's why the track fades out, and you hear the crowd go, yay! Like you just did. It's pretty funny. The rest of it, though, we're back to the legit stuff. I mean, out of the 10 songs on these, on sides 3 and 4 of the album, 9 of them are legit live. And what's interesting now is James Brown picks up a section of the show where he starts performing other people's material. Now, that's not unusual for James Brown. I mean, really, to be honest, nothing is unusual for James Brown. The only thing that would be, you know, usual for James Brown is for him to be unpredictable, because he's, like, never easy. Things are never what they appear to be with him. It's a live album? Well, yeah, but no. It's, you know, his new album? Well, yeah, but half of the songs on it were released before. You know, oh, this is an album with, like, some great hits on it? Well, yeah, but there's an awful lot of cover songs that and filler material all over the place. You know, this is just the way that James operates. And yet, this is a guy that has had 17 number one singles on the R&B charts.
Crazy.
So he's literally, like, the single most successful artist on the R&B charts ever. So it's not the type of thing that you can basically question his choice when it works so well. And the fact that he is so unpredictable keeps you on your toes, and you end up with a weird product like this that is pretty awesome. The album Sex Machine, for example, that we're playing right now, the second half in its entirety. We played the first half last week. If you're interested, by the way, you want to hear the entire album, if you want to hear sides 1 and 2, it's just as simple as going to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com, and it's right there on your homepage. It's staring you right in the face. I know it's up already, so if you'd like it, just click on it, and boom, the show starts. That's the way it works. If you want to go deeper, there's about 200 and some odd other shows there as well for you to wade through, so help yourself.
We're planning out your holiday weekend coming up.
Yeah, and the next 7 or 8 of them after that, if you want to really go deep. But that's AmericanHitNetwork.com. All right, let's pick up then where we left off. I mentioned that this is James Brown doing a couple of cover tunes. He starts with his version of the David Clayton Thomas song that he made famous with Blood, Sweat, and Tears, James Brown's live version of Spinning Wheel on 90.3 WHPC.
Thank you.
Thank you. Low Down Popcorn and Spinning Wheel. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Just getting together.
All right. Thanks for that, James. Doing my job for me. Yeah, those are his. It's interesting that he announces the song, right? And yet it must have happened that he didn't like the live version that was there. So he dubbed the studio version in to cover for it and added the crowd noise and then, you know, just put that in the spot in the live show. But I think he gets very underrated as an organist. You know, his instrument, hearing those two
tracks.
Oh, that's
him, the man himself playing the organ?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, James plays
that's
organ.
That's impressive.
And you know, he's also like a very good drummer. He's a strange drummer. But when he does sit down, I mean, he's played drums on a couple of his own hits, earlier ones. But yeah, the instrumental albums are really something. I mean, hearing those tracks make me want to find them and pick out a couple of them myself because they're just, it's great party music. It's great, you know, stuff to keep in the background. You don't have to, don't worry about the words. It's just all about mood. And James Brown's quite good at doing exactly that. So I did mention there were a couple of cover tunes in a row. So let's get to the next one. This would have been the track that ended side three of this double album. This is a song written by Leslie Bricusse and Cyril Ornadel. It's called If I Ruled the World. A great version by James Brown on 90.3 WHPC.
If I rule the world, thank you. Every day would be like the first day of spring. Then every voice would have a new song to sing, but sing of the joy. If I rule the world, every man would be as free as a bird. That every voice would be a voice to be heard. Take my word, and we'll trust it. It's such a beautiful place where we would weep and see such wonderful dreams. My world would have a smile on its face like the man in the moon. That no man could hear, no man.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, you know, on CD, these, they don't let the side just fade. They throw them together like that. But this is why I love this album. You can hear, I was saying earlier when we started the show that this is about, you know, if you were going to pick an album to start with, this is a great one because you really get to hear the diversity that James Brown represents. You hear his really funky stuff on, you know, like I don't, on the first two sides, like Get Up, the title track, Sex Machine, Brother Rap, things like that. But here you hear the really cool instrumentals like Low Down Popcorn, the cover version instrumental like Spinning Wheel. And then he sings If I Ruled the World like he's a classic crooner almost.
It was beautiful.
With a tremendous amount of energy, of course. But, you know, James has got a fabulous voice or had a fabulous voice, of course. And when he uses it on material like that, and he doesn't stretch himself. Like last week, I know that we played a song almost a bit comedic when I played his version of September Song. And also Hank Williams, Your Cheatin' Heart. I mean, I kind of did that for comic relief just because it was a bit nutty. And also because that was the album that he had issued, the studio album that he issued, right around the time that he recorded this live album. So it was relevant in that regard. But those tracks were weird. But here on this album, you hear him doing cover songs. There's nothing weird about them at all. They're really
sensational.
Sensational. That's an incredible version of the song If I Ruled the World. Kind of tough to beat, actually. Okay, now James gets back to business with his own material, and we'll pick up with this incredible hot groove song called There Was a Time on 90.3 WHPC.
Thank you. some help? Can I get some help? Can I get some help? Can I get some help? The groove is here. Bring it up. Bring it up. Bring it up. Good God. Get it. Bring it up now. Take it away.
Oh, we had it on stop. I wanted to see that thing keep going if the track continued. I don't want to say too much now. Let's just get right into it because this is where James does his own segues. From here, he goes back to a couple of his classic tracks from the mid-60s. It's A Man's 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 World, which took its name, by the way, from the movie.
Yeah, it's a Mad.
Right, exactly. Mad World. And his live version of Please, Please, Please. So I guess it's just like repeat the same word three times segue on 90.3 WHPC.
This is a man's world. Thank you. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. Take us over the road. Man made the train. Give the band another big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, being so together. To take us out of the dark. Man made the boat for the water. Don't play so much jazz. Like Noah made the ark. This is a man. A woman or a girl. Now, baby, if I call you, tell me, will you answer? Baby, if I call you, tell me, will you answer? Your answer with the soul from Augusta, Georgia. Your answer with the feeling from Augusta, Georgia. Yeah. If I call you, tell me will you answer. Tell me will you answer. Hit the melody. Can't hear you. The baby let me scream. Tell me. Can't scream. Please, please, please.
can't just stand in love. Anybody can go just stand in love.
Sorry for these hard edits, but you can't help it with that. When James Brown does live albums and stuff, things get crazy. He's the master of like the quick cut to the next track, and this album proves that too. And how about that band?
They're hot.
It's, you know, something else. I mean, that's.
But I think they were still getting fined.
Yeah, right. Probably still. You hear that one thing?
Not
about,
so much jazz. He giveth with one hand and taketh with the other.
Right. Somebody went home $50 less. That's Maceo Parker doing all the MCing too. You know, he had a lot of. It's also Maceo Parker playing the organ on the tracks where James Brown isn't. On, you know, when you hear James Brown singing, Maceo takes over the organ when he's not playing tenor sax. And how many references to Augusta, GA? You know, this is James Brown back home on his own turf. So it's worth playing into that, of course, as the record plays. Yeah, I'd say pound for pound, if you were going to pick a single album to represent James Brown, this really might be it. If you kind of really pick one and you go all the way back to 62, I could say Live at the Apollo.
Because that's a great one.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest live albums ever for the early R&B and what soul music was beginning to sound like, you know, that far back. If you get a little bit more modern, though, I'd say that this would be the next best choice. It's usually the live albums with James that work. And, of course, I don't want to sell short the many, 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 many compilation albums that are out there of his that are also fairly stunning. I don't use the compilation albums on my list because it's cheating, you know, greatest hits and all that sort of thing. That's not fair. I'm trying to basically pick up stuff that represents what it is at that moment, what the artist put out as a new product or a live album that went out, you know, of its own accord. So very, very, very rarely would I feature a greatest hits album unless there's some reason to justify it, a good reason to justify it. For James, there isn't because there's too many studio albums. All right, let's play the last track from this album. We might have enough time to basically throw in a bonus track. So let's play How the Album Ends with this track called Mother Popcorn from the album Sex Machine on 90.3 WHPC.
Skinny legs and all. I'm like a boss. I like a rock to cut. And when they walk, they don't cry. See? You got to have a mother for me. That was the time I was all alone. To find it out. Thought I was gone. Young buddy dumped me. Said, now see what you are doing, brother. Stay ahead of me. That way I get my blood. I use a Sam to call. What a woman loving. A mother she got to have. See? You got to have a mother for me. Get back, jump in the small ring. Get back.
I gotta do my thing.
There you go. The entire album, Sex Machine, in 2 weeks. It's an unholy mess, and it's awesome. It's both things at the exact same time.
How can he do it?
It's pretty incredible. I can make a record that I consider to be ridiculously, off kilter for the first three decades that I owned it. It wasn't until, I think, what was the magazine, the British magazine that rated it the best album of all time?
Musical Express.
It wasn't NME, but whatever it was one of those British magazines I said, and I saw that, and I was like, well, I know they're insane. That's ridiculous, but it does make me want to at least revisit the album. I can't have like an entire staff of a magazine calling it the best album of all time, and I've got it in my basement saying that it's not very good. So it definitely forced me to rethink it, and I did. It never came to the level that it was purported to be at by the magazine, but it certainly did lift itself up in my own eyes. And like I said, now I consider it to be one of his better products. Very cool and representative. That last track, Mother Popcorn, great drummer song too, with that really cool dragged beat pattern that pulls that song along. And James Brown is like was the king of funk for that reason, because you'd find a pattern and just repeat it and just beat it into your head. And it became so addictive after a while that you didn't want it to ever stop. And there's some very good examples of that on this album. All right. So finish this one. By the way, next week, we're going to be able to start with something a bit different. It's been a long time since we've played an alternative top 40 album. We've played a tremendous amount of top 500 of the top 40 albums, which is to say popular stuff, stuff that made the top 40. That's really just because in 1970, there was a tremendous amount of great stuff that made the top 40, more so than vice versa. But we do have an exception next week. We're going to play a classic alternative top 40 album. I promise you, it's going to be one that you're going to find interesting. So hope you can join us again next week. Meanwhile, I do have a bonus track. I want to play one song by James that was, again, from circa this era. And the reason I'm playing this track is because it now has the, I believe it might even be in Guinness Book of World Records, as being the single most sampled song of all time. And the reason is simple. It's got a couple spots where the band drops out and the drums keep going. And it is just, it's been used on so many tracks for, you know, sampling tracks, that it goes on and on and on and on, like forever, how many people basically used Funky Drummer for their backup. So I'm going to use it right now as a closing tune. Here it is then, by James Brown, Funky Drummer. Thanks, everybody. See you on Friday.
Pull back the cover. Shade. God, it's a raid. Cut out the lights and call the law. Cut out the lights and call the law. Standing over there, the devil's son-in-law. There was one.